Let's look in the Word of the Lord tonight, the book of Ephesians, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles, please. The book of Ephesians in chapter number 3. Good to see each one of you in the house of God this evening. If you'll look with me in Ephesians in chapter number 3, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles, we'll read some familiar verses this evening. All Scripture should be familiar to us if we read our Bibles the way we should. But this is some very familiar verses in the Word of the Lord. And some of you tonight that are here, at least Brother Randy, maybe a couple of others, I don't know, have heard me preach from this portion of Scripture tonight, but it's where the Lord has directed my heart to. Matter of fact, I tried to tell the Lord before I got here that somebody may have already heard me preach on this before. And He said, somebody has. Brother Randy has heard you preach on it several times. And so somebody has tonight. Of course, he won't remember everything, I'm sure. My memory is the part I forget the most. Amen. Y'all get that? My memory is the part that I forget the most. And I'm supposed to know that song, the record book, and I kept, all I could think of was the second verse. Well, that was the one you already sung, so that didn't help any. I was trying to help over there. I even looked to see if I had my notes on it, and I couldn't find them either. I guess my memory failed me on that as well. But tonight I do want to share with you some things from the Word of the Lord. If you have heard us share this before, I hope you can do as I do and just rejoice in it with me. And I believe it'll be a help to you. I cannot be reminded of it too much. Ephesians 3, if you're able and willing, I would invite you to stand with us and we'll reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in the 14th verse. The Word of the Lord says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge." Isn't that a great prayer request? Amen. That we would know something you can't know? To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. It's impossible for you to know it, but Paul prays that we would know it. That ought not to surprise us. I mean, we see the invisible. We believe the impossible. Why could we not know the unknowable? Might know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. As you might be filled with all the fullness of God. How about this great verse? "Now unto Him that is able to do..." We can stop right there and preach a couple hours. "Unto Him that's able to do..." I'm glad He's able tonight. "He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Our text tonight can be found in verse 18. "May be able to comprehend," Paul prays in verse 17, "Christ dwell in your hearts, rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height." I wish we were so crowded tonight that we could not do this, but we're not. So y'all help me now. And this is very unusual preaching for me, very out of the ordinary. But I want you to join with me here. Just set your Bibles down just a moment, please. And I want you to share something with me this evening. There are four things the apostle mentions tonight. And I'll get two of them mixed up. Breadth and depth I get mixed up. So we're going to do the Harrelson County translation tonight. Instead of breadth, I'll use width and length and depth and height. Y'all help me now. Act like you. And boys in prison, they'll always pay attention and do exactly what I'm doing. Of course, most of them's a little different, some of us. So, the width and the length, it almost looks like a Heisman pose, doesn't it? Either that or John Morgan. Some of y'all know John Morgan. The width and the length and the depth and the height. And listen, that's not part of the message tonight. If you miss that, you miss the whole thing. That's the whole message. The width, how wide is the love of God? The width. And the length, how long is the love of God? And the depth, how deep is the love of God? And the height, how high is the love of God? That's what the Apostle Paul prayed, that we may comprehend the width and the length, the depth and the height. Now, Brother Brett, come right here. Let me borrow you for just a minute. Come stand right here beside me. He's doing pretty good with this. And so I want y'all just to watch him. Now, the width, how wide is the love of God? And the length, how long is the love of God? And the depth, how deep is the love of God? And the height, how high is the love of God? And I want you to notice something. Whether he's going wide or long or deep or high, there's one thing right smack dab in the middle of it all.
Yes, sir.
Brother Brett.
That's right. Yes, sir. That's
y'all
right.
Listening to me tonight? Everybody with me now. Y'all help us out. Just like Brother Brett, y'all help me out now. How wide is the love of God? How long is the love of God? How deep is the love of God? How high is the love of God? And who is it that's right smack dab in the middle of all of the love of God? It is you and it is me. We are the objects of His love. You can be seated tonight. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. And again, I appreciate you giving us your attention for just a few moments tonight. We're talking about comprehending the measure of the love of God. I show you these things tonight in our dimensions because long after you've forgotten about any highfalutin thing that I may say tonight, and people that use words like highfalutin are normally not highfalutin, amen. After you've forgotten about every lofty term that I may use, any Greek or Hebrew that I may reference, you will remember our simple dimensions this evening of how wide the love of God is, how long the love of God is, how deep the love of God is, and how high that it is. That's what we're talking about this evening. Comprehending the measure or the dimension of God's precious love. Now, verse 14 in our text actually begins a perpetual sentence, an extended sentence that takes place actually across five verses from verse 14 all the way through verse 19 is one long sentence that the Apostle Paul gives us. He begins letting us know that it's prayer time. And he says, for this cause, I bow my knees. I'm about to bow and pray, and this is what I'm going to ask for. I'm going to ask that the Lord would give every one of you wisdom. I'm going to ask that God would open your heart and your mind, and that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might in His Spirit and the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And he said, I will pray that you be rooted and grounded in love, and that you might be able to comprehend, that you may be able to grasp what is the width or the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of the love of God. And he goes on to tell us that he has confidence that we will know the unknowable because he's asking a God that's able to do the impossible. Amen. And now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. You know why we can know a love that is unknowable? Because the God that can do the impossible is granting this prayer unto us. You would never have known the love of God had the Lord not seen fit to manifest His love unto us. And my friend, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He let us know that we love Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and became the propitiation for our sin. That we love Him because He first loved us. And my friend, the Lord has seen fit to introduce us unto the love of God. He's doing the impossible in opening our eyes that we may see how great and how vast the love of God is tonight. Now, we'll love this passage of Scripture. I love this chapter of the Word of the Lord. I love this epistle of the book of Ephesians. This is one of the deepest chapters of one of the most profound epistles in the New Testament.
One writer said that the prose of these verses is lofty. The subject of these verses is deep. The theme of the verses is profound. The flow of these verses is smooth. The literary value of these verses is immense. And the conclusion of these verses is inspirational. But my interest tonight is in the love of these verses. And it is immeasurable. And the Apostle Paul said, I pray that the Lord would open your eyes and your mind to receive and to comprehend the measures of the love of God. Even though it is impossible to know it, even though it is unknowable, even though it is beyond knowledge, I pray God would give you a comprehension of it. We'll make a distinction in just a moment of those terms between comprehending and knowing, and you'll understand more of what I mean. But let's talk a moment about these dimensions of the love of God. And my friend, I'm thankful that we have some idea, some understanding, some clue as to the love of God and the measures of this love, of this immeasurable love of God, to know love which is beyond knowing. And my friend, the Lord will give this unto us. It's His gift. It is His granting of a prayer answered. And my friend, that we may know the width and the length and the depth and the height. So tonight, let's look at those four dimensions. How wide is the love of God? This is how wide it is. God's love is so wide that it reaches the whole world. My friend, red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. John 3:16 said it the best. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. When He said, so loved the world, you realize that's the only place in the Bible that I can find where it talks about love and fuels it was so. He said, so loved the world. So loved the world. How what did He love? The trees and the mountains and the streams. How what did He love? The waterfalls. How what did He love? Big cities and small towns. How the Lord didn't love the land or the dirt or the air or the sea or the animals. But it was the people of the world. He does not even love the world system. Matter of fact, He did not even pray for the world system. But He said, I pray not for the world, but these that are in the world. Amen. You know what? He so loved. He so loved you and He so loved me. He so loved sinners that needed to be saved. His love is so wide that it reaches the whole world. If it had not been that wide, I'd have never got in. Had it not been that great, I'd have died lost. Had it not been, my friend, a place where that I could enter, I'd have never got born again. But His love is wide enough to reach the whole world. 1 Timothy 3:16 says it this way, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. I love that Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, who for the suffering of death crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Tonight I don't mean to stir up anything that might be a bone of contention, but I'm not ashamed wherever I am for you to look in my face and for me to acknowledge that I am a whosoever will preacher. Amen. That's exactly right. I'm so thankful the Lord came to save sinners. He came to save lost men. My friend, hallelujah. You don't have to worry tonight, am I? I'm one of the elect. And is it impossible for me to be saved? Not only is it possible, not only will the Lord have you, He's been looking for you. Amen. He came for somebody like you and for somebody like me. He wants to save folks like us. His love is wide enough for us to get in. Praise God. Hallelujah. Not only do I not believe in living limited atonement. I believe in an unlimited atonement. Amen. There is no cap. There is no capacity. There is no limit to what God can do. I mean, He came to save anybody, everybody. And He came to save you tonight. If you'll yield your heart and your life to Him, He is in the business of loving sinners and saving lost folks. Hallelujah. And if He was not, we'd all be in trouble. We'd all be in trouble. Hallelujah. His love is so wide that it reaches white, black, yellow, red. His love is so wide it reaches rich, poor, educated, uneducated, old and young, civilized and uncivilized. It does not matter if you stand in the halls of Harvard or Yale. Have my friend these vaunted institutions of Ivy League status and to have a great title to your name or have as many letters behind your name as there are in the alphabet, or just some poor fella in Africa with a bone in your nose. The Lord loves you just the same. And my friend, He's interested in saving you just the same. Or in our day and age, and my friend, you may be a fella with a bone in your nose and you're in Harvard or Yale. Amen. We're living in interesting times. Amen. I've found out, friend, there's a lot of folks more intelligent than what they look like they are. And there's a lot of them that's a lot less intelligent than what they look like they are. And they all need the Lord. Amen. And He loves everyone and is interested in saving everyone. I bless His dear name. Now listen, I like folks who know how to speak good English like I do. I appreciate people that have a bit of a draw in their language. But I got news for you. I got some folks in my church where I pastor that are Yankees. I mean, they don't talk as good of English as what I do. Their language is not exactly just right. They call Coca-Cola's pop. They call soda pop. They call it soda. And my friend, they don't know how to use good language. And they don't know what leather breeches are. And my friend, they don't understand a lot of the terms I use around the church. And they don't know words like youngs and younguns. I mean, they don't know what those are. But listen, God is interested in saving Yankees. He's interested in saving Southern folks. He's interested in saving people who speak the Queen's English and who don't. He's interested in saving folks that have money in their pocket as well as those that are in the penitentiary. He's about being interested in saving people that have problems with drugs and alcohol. He wants to save them off the church pew as well as off the bar stool. I mean, His love is wide enough to receive the whole world. Hallelujah. God's love is so wide enough to reach the whole world. Y'all remember how it goes, don't you? How wide, help me now, how wide is the love of God? Second question, how long? How long is the love of God? His love is so wide it'll reach the whole world. His love is so long that it'll last forever. Amen. His love is so long that it will last forever. Praise God, Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Praise God, the Lord always has and always will love me. He loved me before I ever knew Him. And He'll love me with an everlasting love. Hallelujah. Oh, bless His name. Hallelujah. Tonight, you may go home this evening. I hope not. But you may go home this evening and your wife or husband say, I don't love you anymore. I don't care for you anymore. And I'm leaving. And I'm never going to have anything else to do with you. I'm done. But the Lord will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And your father or your mother may turn on you. Your son or your daughter may turn on you and say, I don't love you anymore. Oh, your best friend may pat you on the back with a knife in their hand and to say, I don't love you anymore. Oh, but God will never stop loving you. He will never stop loving you. He loves you and me with an everlasting love. Woo! Oh, bless His name. Hallelujah. He'll love us forever. I got a dear friend of mine, and every time I see him, he'll say, Brother Toby, I love you. And there ain't a thing in the world you can do about it. Amen. That's what he tells me every time I see him. Brother Toby, I love you, and there ain't a thing in the world you can do about it. I got news for you tonight. The Lord loves you, and there is nothing you can do about it. He loves you. He loves me when I'm glad. He loves me when I'm mad. He loves me when I'm sad. He even loves me when I'm bad. Hallelujah. I mean, God, it just loves me. I'm in love with my Savior, and He's in love with me. He is with me from day to day. What a friend is He. Watches over me while I sleep and hears me when I pray. I'm as happy as I can be. And then I can say, somebody loves me. Answers my prayers. I love somebody. I know He cares. Somebody tells me not to repent, and that somebody is Jesus. And I know He's mine. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, I say like that preacher down home, that's worth two hallelujahs. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that I know that He loves me with an everlasting love. Hallelujah. There may come a time when I cannot preach anymore. My friend, there may come a time when I cannot see to read my Bible. There may come a time when I'm unable to come to church. There may come a time when my service to the Lord virtually ceases because of the end of the abilities of this flesh. But there will never come a time when the Lord stops loving me. Hallelujah. You see, God doesn't love me tonight because I preach. God doesn't love me because I can sing pretty. God doesn't love me because I'm such a good Christian. None of those things are so. The Lord loved me before I ever knew Him. The Lord loved me before I ever served Him. The Lord loved me before I ever loved Him. And He won't ever stop loving me. He'll forget where I can't preach at all. He'll forget where I can't sing at all. He'll forget to the place where I don't even know how to pray. And my friend, the Lord will never stop loving me. His love, how long is it? It's long enough to last forever. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My little granny's 89, I think, maybe 90 now. And she's living in, in a facility because her mind's shot. I mean, it's gone. Sometimes she's living in this year. Sometimes she's living in 1945. Sometimes she's living in both those time frames at the same time. Sometimes she recognizes me as her grandson. And sometimes she recognizes me as a grandson, thinks I'm an American soldier, and that I shot her daddy in the war. And her daddy did get shot in the war, but he didn't get killed in the war. And sometimes she thinks her daddy's coming over here, been dead since before I was a little boy. And sometimes she thinks her daddy's coming over here to straighten things out. I mean, she is out of touch with reality. As she gets to singing things, she came from Germany. She's been here about 50 years. But German is her native language, and she gets to going in those times. And she speaks to me in German. I talk to her in English. And we usually understand one another pretty well. But sometimes she gets to singing a song, and she'll sing the same thing over and over again, 1,000 times a day, for days on end. And she got old Christmas trees stuck in her mind. They put up the Christmas tree there at the home. And she got it in her mind. She's singing, "Old Tannenbaum, Old Tannenbaum." And to my friend, I don't know all how it goes in German. I can sing it halfway in English. But she'll sing it in German. I'll sing it in English. We'll sing it together. And she sung that for over a month, every day, over and over and over. But back a few months ago, I went to see her. And the song she had stuck in her mind that day was "Near the Cross, Near the Cross." And she sat there, I walked in, and she was sitting in her room by herself, and in a little chair and staring out the window, and I could hear her in that high pitch, a little voice, and she was singing in English, with that deep German out, I'd see her singing "Near the Cross, Near the Cross," rolling those R's, "Be my glory ever, until my raptured soul shall find rest, the beyond the river. And she'd sing it over and over again. I stood there and listened a little while, went in and talked to her. She said, come in here, son, and you sit down right here on the bed next to me, and you sing with me. We'll be singing Near the Cross. And she looked at me and she said, you hear me? She said, the Lord will always remember you. She does not say remember. She says remember. The Lord will always remember you. She said, somebody else may forget you, but the Lord will always remember you. She said, you just stay near the cross. You just stay near the Lord. You just stay close to Jesus. He will never forget you. He will always remember you. Woo-hoo! Oh, bless His name. How long is the love of God? It's long enough to last forever. Oh, bless His high and holy name. I may get to the place where I don't know how to preach, where I can't quote a verse of Scripture, or where I cannot sing one song. I may not even remember His name, but He'll never forget me. He'll always remember me. He'll always love me. Woo-hoo! Oh, bless His name. I tell you how long it is. His love will last forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. His love is so wide, anybody, everybody can get saved. Reaches the whole world. His love is so long, it lasts forever. Isaiah 49:15 tells us that a mother may forget her infant child, but the Lord will never forsake us. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of a good courage, fear not, neither be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is, He is God. He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee. It neither forsake thee. God's love is so long, it will last forever. And so how wide is it? Wide enough for the whole world to get in. How long is it? Long enough to last forever. You remember what's next? How deep is it? How deep is the love of God? It's deep enough to reach the lowest sinner. Hallelujah. It's deep enough to reach the lowest sinner. There is no sin. There is no transgression. There is no iniquity that is untouchable to the love of God. His love reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Dark the stain that soiled man's nature. Long the distance that he fell, far removed from hope in heaven, into deep despair and hell. But there was a fountain open, and the blood of God's own Son purifies the soul and reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Oh, praise His sweet name. His love is so deep, it reaches the lowest sinner. Romans 5:8. God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All means all, and that's all that all means. It means all sin. I praise the Lord for that. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And if the Bible stopped right there, a whole lot of folks just be in serious trouble. But praise God for verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Oh, praise His dear name. His love was deep enough to reach us when we were down, when we were lost, when we were doomed, when we were damned. Praise His dear name. Luke 15:2, the Bible said, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I tell you, we ought to rejoice tonight that Jesus receives sinners, that Jesus saves the sinners. Oh, praise His dear name. I praise God. He reaches below the bottom to save me. Several years ago, I got a call from a preacher that I didn't know in Kentucky, and he said, I want you to come such and such days and need for you to come be a part of the meeting and like for you to come preach for me and so on and so forth. And I agreed to go and went to be a part of the service, and I put the stuff in my GPS, drove up through there. I left work that morning south of Atlanta about 10:30 or 11 o'clock after working several hours, and then took off in that direction towards this place in Kentucky. And I'm telling you, it was in the middle of nowhere. Matter of fact, I had to go to nowhere and then get started to get there. I mean, it was way on out yonder. And my friend, I got all the way to Kingdom Come Parkway. Hadn't made a right. And had to go about another 70 miles. And that was the town I was going to stay in. They had a huddle house and a red light. And I left that town and went another 40 miles to a four-way stop and made a right on a state highway that was a one-lane road that dead-ended in the holler at the graveyard. Amen. And that's where the church was, down Kingdom Come Parkway. I was frustrated and I was tired. Had been not only that, my cell service went out. I'd been talking with my wife some on the road while I was going, but I was by myself. Had been the cell service went out. And I thought, there's not a human within sight. There won't be anybody there to hear me preach. I'm all by myself, and the Lord sent me out in the wilderness. If I was to die, nobody would even know where I am. I'm all by myself. Oh, but praise God. The Holy Ghost come along around Kingdom Come Parkway and said, if you'll let me, I'll ride with you. And you can just fellowship with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he rode the rest of the way in. I didn't stop all the way from south of Atlanta, all the way up in there to Everett, Kentucky. I'd really about 30 miles out of Everett, just outside of Everett, about 35, 40 miles from Harlan. Just outside of Everett, up into a place called Disney, D-I-Z. Anyway, Kentucky. And when I got up there just below the cemetery at the beautiful old church, and the mountain brook sprinkling across the side of the road, you could hear the water trickling down out of the mountain. I mean, it was one of the prettiest things I'd ever seen. And I arrived just in time to get out. Didn't stop all the way. Had to get out of the car and tie my tie and walk in the door while they're singing the first song. I mean, I was frazzled, friend. And I thought, nobody will be here. How we're so far from humankind and civilization. There are no humans living in this county. They filled the whole building up. They sat in the window sills all down through here. Has stood back under in the steps going down into the basement. And out on the porch where you come in, they had the doors open. And folks standing on the piazza, or as they called it, out on the porch, on the front. And to my friend, everybody around the whole building, we had people saved all week long. God, I reached it down and touching folks. Well, oh boy, God poured again. And he made this statement. He said, I was lower than a snake's belly in a wagon wheel rut. But the Lord saved my soul. Woo! I tell you, that's about as low as you can go. A snake's belly in a wagon wheel rut. But he said, I was lower than that, and the Lord saved my soul. I praise his dear name. We sing it around the church. He reached way below the bottom for me that night up at the high church with the round mouth singing. They sang, he reached out his hand for me. He reached way down for me. I was lost and undone without God and his son. When the Savior reached down for me, I tell you, he reaches low enough all the way to the bottom, to the lowest sin. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If Jesus only saved rich folks, righteous folks, religious folks, and refined folks, most of us would have been left out. But since he saved sinners, we all qualify. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. His love is deep enough to reach the bottom. And deep enough to reach us. How wide is the love of God? So wide it reaches the whole world. And the length, how long is the love of God? It's long enough to last forever. And the depth, how deep is the love of God? It's deep enough to reach all the way to the bottom. Oh, what's our fourth dimension tonight? The height. The height. How high is the love of God? I want to tell you tonight, it is high enough to reach all the way into heaven. Hallelujah. It is high enough to reach all the way into heaven. Loftier than any idea of literature is the love of God. Higher than any design of architecture. Higher than any formula of engineering or any cure of medicine or any concept of philosophy or any ritual of religion is the love of God Almighty. Oh, it reaches higher than Delta can fly. It reaches higher than NASA can launch. It reaches higher than telescopes can view. It reaches higher than science fiction can imagine. It reaches higher than the minister of the gospel can describe. It reaches all the way past the sun and the moon and the Milky Way and the galaxies yonder into the third heaven. And my friend, to the very throne of God behind the eternal veil, into the holiest of holies in the glory world, into the place where my anchor of hope has been lodged eternally in the Lord. And I want to say tonight, this is not the height to which the love of God aspires to reach, but it is the height to which the love of God has always reached. And because this is the origin of the love of God, God didn't birth love in me that's reaching out for Him, but it was His love in Him that first reached out for me. It first reached out, now it reaches up. Woo! Oh, bless His name. God's love is not stretching into the heavens trying to reach God. And my friend, it originated there. It's always been there, lodged in the bosom of the Lord God Almighty and Eternal. And that's where the love of God started at. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 John 4:9, and this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son to the world that we might live through Him, hearing His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. And verse 19 said, we love Him because He first loved us. He knew me, yet He loved me. Hallelujah. When He was on the cross, I was on His mind. Tonight, the love of God, how wide? Wide enough to reach the whole world. How long? Long enough to last forever. How deep? Deep enough to reach the bottom. How high? High enough to touch heaven. And who and what is smack dab right in the middle of it all? I am and you are. Did you know tonight you are the reason why Jesus has done everything He's done? Brother Mays Jackson, one of my favorite preachers. My wife was saved under Brother Mays' ministry. And he was such a great blessing to me and to my family and to me as a young preacher boy. I love Brother Mays. Brother Mays used to say the Lord never did anything for Himself. Not one thing that the Lord ever did was with a selfish motive. Everything He ever did, He did it for you and He did it for me. He never did anything for Himself. That's love. Seeketh not her own. Amen. That is love. He loved us that much. We are right smack dab in the middle of the love of God. We are the objects, the recipients, the benefactors of the love of God Almighty. Oh, and I bless His name for that. Now, let's talk for just a moment, and I'll finish this evening, about how do we comprehend such a thing. Have the love of God, that we may comprehend the width and the length and the depth and the height. How do we comprehend such a thing? I mean, measuring the love of God, you can't measure it in feet or inches or meters or miles or kilometers, or as they say it in Harrelson County where I pastor, kilometers. Amen. You can't measure it in gallons or pounds or ounces or kilograms. You can't measure it with a ruler. You can't measure it with a radar. You can't measure it with a telescope. My friend, you can't calculate it with a calculator or a slide rule or a computer. It is near incomprehensible. And yet He prays for us to know what is beyond knowledge, that we may comprehend what is the width and length and depth and height of the love of God. We went up the other day to spend a little time in Mount Airy, Brother Andy. And it makes me think about Barney Fife saying to Andy, it's big, Andy. That's what it is. It's big. Well, what is it, Barney? There ain't but one word for it. Big. That's right. It's big. That's the love of God. Hallelujah. Verse 18, look at your Bibles if you still have them open with us. The Scripture says, may be able. Well, let's start in verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. That's where our foundation is. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. So we've talked about the measurements. Let's roll back to the comprehension. Verse 18 is a prayer that we may comprehend. That's the word used. The love of God. Now this word comprehend, and don't mistake me, I am not fluent in Greek and Hebrew and Latin. I'm not even fluent in English. But I do have a dictionary. And that word comprehend is the underlying word in Greek, katal ambano. Katal ambano. And that word katal ambano means to take eagerly. To take eagerly, that you may be able to comprehend, that you may be able to take eagerly the love of God and how wide and how long and how deep and how high it is. I want to tell you something. The Scripture, when Paul says this, he's saying, I want you to take eagerly the dimensions of the love of God. I'm praying that you would. And now let me say it this way tonight. Paul is praying that when the preacher says, oh, the love of God so wide it reaches the whole world, how that you don't do this. How wide is it? How long is it? Long enough to last forever? How deep enough to reach the bottom? High enough to reach the heaven? He said, whenever you hear that, it ought not to bore you. It ought not to put you to sleep. You ought to be on the edge of your seat saying, tell me more, tell me more. I want to know more about the love of God. I want to receive it eagerly. How that He may receive, that you may take eagerly the love of God. I tell you, it ought to get us excited to know that the God of heaven would love us, would pray for us, would receive us, and by faith would save us, to take eagerly the word. Not only to take eagerly, but it means to seize upon. To seize upon. You know what you ought to do tonight? You're sitting on the pew thinking, I can't comprehend a God that's glove wide enough to receive the whole world. There's some people I don't like. I can't comprehend a God that just loves us forever. You think about it, every human being thinks about things with beginnings and endings, and yet with God, there is no beginning and no ending. He's forever. I can't comprehend a God whose love is so deep it reaches to the bottom, including the sins that those people have committed against me, the folks that I'm bitter at, that I'm angry at, that I wouldn't save if I were God. The Lord will forgive their sins, and it's hard for us to comprehend that. You're thinking tonight, I can't comprehend a God whose height of the love of God is so high it reaches all the way past the stars and the moon, hundreds and millions of light years away. And yet tonight you can comprehend just a little bit. You know what that word katalambano means then? You haven't got to understand it all. But if you can just see a little bit, seize on it. Tonight, if all God gives you is that much, you can't get it this wide, you can't get it that long, you can't wrap your mind around it that deep, you can't seem to figure out how it gets that high, but if He gives you this much, if you ain't out here, you're just in here somewhere, if He gives you that much of an understanding of the love of God, seize on it. Seize on it. Tonight, you sit in a pew and you say, I don't know how I can do it. I don't know how I can love somebody like me. All tonight, but listen, if you can understand that much, appropriated by faith, believe it, and trusted it, say like the man whose boy I was in such trouble full of the devil, and he brought him to the Lord, the disciples couldn't help, and Jesus said, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God, and he said, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. What little bit you can put your fingers on tonight, seize upon it. Tonight, if you understand a grain, a splinter of the love of God, you ought to get in this altar and stake out your claim and say, God, I don't get it all. I don't understand it all. I got more questions than what I got answers. But what I do know, I believe it. What I have heard, I'll receive it. And I will trust in it. And I've staked my claim in it. Amen. That's what saving faith is.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say something tonight. Some of y'all is a whole lot more spiritual than what I am, maybe not agree with, but the rest of us humans in here this evening will understand. Those of you with your little horns holding up your halo, you might not. But the rest of us will understand. When I came to the Lord and asked Him to save my soul, I didn't come to Him with mountain-moving faith. I didn't come with giant faith. I didn't come to the altar saying, I know He's going to save me. I bowed my head wondering if He would. Are you listening to me? Anybody else witnessing with me tonight? I bowed my head wondering if God could, if He would. I wondered if He, why, that He would. Oh, I mean, I didn't have great faith. I just had small faith. I didn't understand how wide and how long, how deep and how high. I just knew God had given me a splinter and I seized upon what I got. Are you listening to me? Tonight, if God gives you a square inch, I stake your claim to it. And by faith, God, You gave this to me. And I'm trusting You for this. And when you do that, God expands your knowledge and your understanding. Amen. Comprehend, seize upon it. That is, comprehend to receive with gladness or to receive with joy. To seize upon it, to take eagerly, to receive gladly, willingly, and eagerly the love of God. So you may be able to comprehend. Now verse 19 is a little different. Let's look at that verse. Verse 18, to comprehend. Verse 19, and to know the love of God, or love of Christ, which passes knowledge. I want you to know what you can't know. That's what verse number 19 says. And this is not the same word we see comprehend. Comprehend is that word katalambano. Seize upon, receive gladly. This word know in verse 19 is the Greek word ginosiko. It's very particular. It is to know absolutely. It is to follow with awareness, to perceive with understanding. It is distinct. Hear this, what I'm preaching tonight. It is distinct from instinctual knowledge. Don't know what instinctual knowledge is, don't you? A lizard's got it. Y'all ever tried to chase a lizard? You don't know what direction a lizard's going to go in, do you? I mean, you can chase a lizard and you can't predict. You might think he's going to jump right, he'll jive left. You may think he's going forwards, he'll go backwards. You chase him yonder direction, he'll turn around and square between your legs. I mean, listen, the lizard is not even thinking. All he is doing is acting by instinct, trying to stay alive. Instinctual knowledge. Instinctual knowledge is what causes a bird to build a nest. I mean, a bird never did go to trade school. He never had anybody teach him how to build a nest. It was just instinct. In him. According to the book of Job, God taught him how to build the nest. That's a whole other sermon, so I can't preach on that, but there's a whole sermon about birds building nests. But God told the bird how to build the nest. It's instinctual knowledge. Some of y'all here, you never have had your boys and girls around one of them black bear, papa bear stoves. But if you got them around where we're building the fire and the black bear stove, and they reach and put their hand on that black bear stove while it's good and hot on the inside, you won't have to teach them not to put their hand there. They'll realize it real quick. There'll probably be some screaming, some wailing and gnashing of teeth going on. But it's instinctual in them to get your hand off of that hot stove. It does not have to be taught. It is an instinct. Instinctual knowledge. Then the second kind of knowledge there is instructional knowledge. That is, you've gone to school and learned your ABCs. You learned A says I as an apple, unless it's long sounds. Some of y'all, I done got past yet. Unless it's long sounds. You know, those vowels sometimes have long sounds. Short sounds is those vowels. I ain't teaching all of that. That's instructional knowledge. Instructional knowledge is learning 2 plus 2 is 4. Instructional knowledge is when we'd stand up in the classroom and the teacher would get the ruler out and she'd smack that wall where our times tables were, and it'd be 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 4 is 8, 2 times 8 is 16. We'd do those times tables on the walls over and over and over again. How instructional knowledge is when you start with your ABCs. Instructional knowledge is when you begin to learn how to work algorithms. How do you begin to learn how to work equations and so forth? That's instructional knowledge. You have to be taught those things.
Yeah.
But this gnosiko is not instructional knowledge. There are some things about the love of God that you know by instinct. I mean, He loved us enough to turn the sun on in heaven during the daytime and turn it off so we could sleep at night. That's instinctual.
Yeah.
Observational even. Yeah. It's instructional that Mom and Daddy taught me that the Lord loved me and the preacher preached to me that the Lord loved me.
Yeah.
But there's a third kind of knowledge. It is not instructional. It is not instinctual. It is experiential. There are some things that I know just because I've been there. Experience. I have been there. Had no use for you to tell me, that there is no place at 56 Taylor Circle where some pretty little old girls loves their daddy. Had no use for you to tell me that there's not one of the prettiest sycamore trees in the state of Georgia with the prettiest black bull that's standing up under it tonight. I wish that I was at home to feed him something. I've already experienced it for myself. I know where it is. Praise God, and at least to this point in my life, I remember how to get there. And sometime or another, late in the night, on tomorrow night, I'll arrive. If it's the Lord's will, come riding down that dirt road. Headlights will shine up under that sycamore tree, and I'll see King George just standing up under where he stays every night. That black bull waiting for me to come home and running down the side of that fence chasing an automobile. Praise His dear name, and I know this because I've experienced it time and time and time and time and time again. Oh, hear me if you want to tell me tonight there is no God in heaven. If you want to tell me the Lord does not answer prayers. If you want to tell me the Bible is not true. If you want to tell me the Holy Ghost does not inhabit the hearts of the believer. You have showed up 30 years too late. I've already experienced it for myself. I know these things by experience. I know the love of God by experience. I can not only say, yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so, but I can say Jesus loves me because I have experienced it for myself.
Amen.
Woo! You know how I know He saves old sinners? Because He saved me. Hallelujah. I know by experience. Woo! Praise God. You want to try to convince me that the Lord don't save sinners? You showed up 30 years, almost 31, too late. Hallelujah. And tonight with the Lord, this is what that gnosiko means. To know by experience. Now, this is what you got to do this evening, verse 18. When God gives you a splinter, you got to receive it gladly. Seize upon it. And then every day, take that splinter you've seized upon and experience it.
Amen.
Trust God and then live in it. Embrace it and then walk in it. You see, I've been walking in the love of God ever since I first received the love of God. Hallelujah. Oh, bless His name. I have come not only to comprehend it by faith, or if you will, to apprehend it by faith, but I have come to experience it by faith. I apprehended it or I comprehended it by faith by receiving that which was given unto me. But then I have come to know about Him by experience it, by faith that is in walking in the faith wherein I have been instructed. And that which He birthed in my heart, He has reinforced in my heart every day since I've come to know the Lord. Growing in grace, growing in faith, embracing every step along the way. If God gives me another handful, I want it all. I'll reach out and grab him and embrace everything he'll give to me. I know that upsets some Baptist folks. They'll say, I got everything I get when I got saved. You got title deed to it all, but you didn't get a hold of it all. You didn't understand it all. Matter of fact, most of us have a lot more right now that we don't understand than what we do understand. We have more questions than what we have answers. We've got more problems than we have solutions. But every day when God gives me another swallow full, another dose full, another spoonful, another grain of sand, my friend, I want to receive it gladly and experience it to the fullest degree. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I take my little girls and we go up and down the street in Gatlinburg. And I don't know how many candy shops there is. But we'll start on one end of the street and go all the way up to the end of town, and we stop at every candy shop, and I've instructed them, don't say nothing unless Daddy says it. And they know we're going to go in, as my little girl says, and get a sample. Y'all know what a sample is, don't you? With a Z, the way she says it, a sample. Let's go get us a sample. Daddy, can we go get a sample? Yes, sweetheart, I can afford that. I can't afford much else of what they're selling in this town, but I can afford a sample. Amen. And so we'll go in the first candy store and I'll say, sweetheart, if you'll just whatever kind you want, if you'll tell the lady, she'll get you a sample. And so that lady gets samples for all of us, and I'll tell them how good it is, tell them how much we appreciate it. We walk out of that store, walk on down a little bit, Mom will look at a T-shirt or a pocketbook or whatever else, and then there'll be another candy store, and we'll go in and get another sample. Amen. And we'll just sample and sample all the way up the street. By the time we get up to the end of the street, we cross over another sidewalk all the way down the street. Every candy shop we go through, we'll stop in and get us a sample. About the time we get back to the car, Sonia will say, y'all not going to buy any candy? Caitlin, Julia, me, all of us to say, we don't really want none anymore. We've just about had all that we wanted. Amen. Just getting it by example. Amen. I'm going to tell you what I have done in my walk with God. I hadn't gotten it all at one time. I hadn't always had a plateful. But every time I've opened my mouth, He's put something inside. He's given me a sample. He's given me some sweetness. He's given me a bindful. And He's kept my soul satisfied, and now embrace all of what He has. Woo! And I feel like walking on down the road a little farther, and I know there'll be another bite, there'll be another serpent, there'll be another stop. Praise God, and I want all of it tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gnosiko, gnosiko, that is to experience it, to know it by experience. I got to finish preaching. I've already preached a lot longer than I intended to. Let me close with this. The dimensions of the love of God are known by experience. Say it three simple ways and I'm quitting tonight. I have known the love of God. I have known and experienced the width of the love of God. I found out it was wide enough for me to get in. I have known the depth of the love of God. I found out it is deep enough to reach my dirtiest, low-down, most hideous, embarrassing sin. Amen. I have experienced the love of God. Secondly, tonight, I am experiencing the love of God. Right now, where I stand this moment, the fact that God gave me an anointing to preach His message is another indicator of how much He surely loves me. He does not have to let me preach. He could have left me standing here by myself tonight. He could have withheld His Holy Spirit from me, His anointing for me to preach, and His anointing from you to hear, and He still would have been God. But the Lord saw fit to send the necessary touch of the Holy Ghost to preach the Word of God. And right now, tonight, I am experiencing the love of God. I am experiencing the length of the love of God tonight. 30 years I've been saved, and it's no different tonight, except maybe a little sweeter than what it was 30 years ago. I hadn't got tired of it in any way. It just gets sweeter and sweeter as the day goes by. Praise God, with every step I stay up, with every second, with every struggle, I experience God's love one day longer than the day before by experience. I am learning the truth that I received by instruction. I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I have experienced it. I am experiencing it. And I will experience the love of God. I will experience the height of the love of God forever. Oh, bless His name. Praise God. One of these days, I'm taking a trip without an airplane. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You see, this will be my final experience of God's love. And it is forever. Because the Lord will never stop loving me. A million years from now, my friend, God won't love me any more than what He does tonight. And He won't love me any less than what He does tonight. But I'm going to know more about it then than what I know now. I will experience the height of the love of God. I mean, friend, hey, I'll leave this world of sin and sorrow and sinful flesh to rise as high as the love of God rises, all the way to the throne of God Almighty, to a land that is fairer than day, to a home reserved eternal in the heavens far as. And what a day that day is going to be. Now, some of you tonight remembers a song in the hymn book that the songwriter, you'd think, was right here in the middle of the church listening to the message tonight. Amen. This is what it says. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care, God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from all sin. When hoary time, y'all know what that is, don't you? Some of y'all got that sprinkled gray in your hair. That's some hoary hairs. When hoary time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measure less and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam raised the saints and angels' song. That last verse is my favorite. It's one of those add-on verses like we talked about the other night. Man, they found it written on the walls of an insane asylum, and I think he had better sense than most of us do. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies with parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, and scrolls could ne'er contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and poor, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Everybody stand tonight. I've preached what God's put on my heart. Please come with a song if you would.